right where you are. Give your neighbor a high five and say, welcome to Hope Community Church in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, if you're a visitor this morning, we have some ushers. Would you raise your hand if you're a visitor, not weird or awkwardly, but if you're a visitor, we have some visitor cards for you right there by the things, right there by the black boxes, ushers. And so if you would raise your hand, we'll grab those to you guys in Jesus' name. And if you want to get involved with Hope Community, and I know you do, if you want to get involved with Hope Community Church, and you have never filled out a big information sheet, we're so thankful for our new ushers, our new sound guys, all those working in nursery and kids' church. We got all these new people, and so we're excited to use you. And if you would like to be used in that way, we want to say we're going to use you. And so we need you. Turn your neighbor and say, we need you. In Jesus' name, you have to smile. You have to smile. We need all of you to do this, what God has called us to. You'll hear about that next week, what God is calling us to. But if you want to be a part, you sign up the Connect card. They have some Connect cards at the welcome desk, some big ones. And it just helps us to let you know how we can plug you in to kingdom work right here at Hope Community Church. And not to get you hungry, but right after service, there is a taco fundraiser. And you can have whatever kind of taco you want, like pork tacos or ground meat tacos, with any fixing that you want, cilantro, onions, and then all the Americans, you can do every other thing, like cheese and tomatoes. But everybody else, cilantro and onions. And so we're going to just eat up. It's going to be wonderful. $2 a taco. You can't beat that. You can take the tacos, bring them back to the cafe. We have 50-cent drinks, and it helps us to get our teens and our children to kids' camp to pay for their transportation. Camp is expensive enough, all the moms said, hallelujah. It's $200 a pop for a kid to go, and you should come, young people. We'll help you raise it, but that's going to help us pay for the gas and get our chaperones there for free. And so we need all of your funding in Jesus' name. And so with that being said, would you turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 25? Matthew chapter 25, to the young people that come to youth, I apologize a little bit. I don't often apologize a lot. And so I apologize a little. This is the fourth time they'll hear this sermon. We are doing this series with our young people. And every time they come on a Wednesday night, I'm reading this to them. But then I don't apologize, because this is sort of how in the New Testament they would read scripture, was to meditate on it and to think on it. And all this month I have been meditating and thinking on these words. And when you think on something for a long enough time, it will begin to change you. You'll think about something bad and it'll change you. But when you begin to think on the Word of God, when you begin to pore over the Word of God and say, God, what does that mean to the where you wrote it? What does it mean to the people that you wrote it to then? But God, what does it mean to when you write it to my heart now? And God has been showing me some things, so everybody is ready to thrive. If you're ready to thrive, shout a hallelujah. Don't say go Pels, they lost. They are not thriving, and so they're just surviving. And I don't want to be like them. Have you seen? Anyway, don't get me started, go Pels. We're looking at Matthew 25, and before we get started, there is Jesus is telling parables. Now, in the context of Matthew, chapter 24 and chapter 25 is about the end times. I think that's going to be important as we read today. You can write about Jesus' miracles, and that would be fine, but this is sort of a text where Jesus is saying, in the context of the end times, and I don't know about you, but I feel like we're close to the end times. I feel like there are some things that are happening that are positioning themselves with the wars on the other side of the world, and I'm not a prophet by any means, but I know that this scripture is true, and it's relevant to us today. So whenever you're reading this parable, which is a short story with a point, and we're supposed to think on it and ask the Lord, God, what are you speaking to me when we read it? But I want you to remember that all of Matthew chapter 24 and 25 is about the end times. Somebody say the end times, just making sure you got it. Now, there's one more thing as well. I hear this parable all the time. Probably growing up, I grew up in a church environment. We had felt boards in kids' church, and you would move the little figures around, and you would tell. This was one of the stories that we heard. But Luke's gospel, which is similar to Matthew's, also writes this from a justice standpoint. He actually writes this same parable, and some of the things are a little bit different. Rather than giving 5, 2, and 1, everyone gets the same amount. So you're going to hear me refer to Luke in sometimes when I'm reading this, just so that we have a good understanding of what God is speaking to us. And so we are praying this morning that we will endure to the end, right? Like, nobody wants to not miss out on heaven. I don't want to miss out in heaven. I'm praying, Lord, give me strength that I would hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I have been serving the Lord since about 30 years now. About 30 years. I gave my life as a teenager, and I'm approaching the great, 5-0. Anyway, so whatever that means. And so I'm trying to be as young as humanly possible in my later 40s. And so here we go. Keep on reading. Matthew chapter 25. God is asking us to steward well. Today's message: thrive with what God has entrusted you with. Let's read Matthew chapter 25, looking at verse 14. It says this: now Jesus is telling a story. Again, end times related, so think of that in perspective. It says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey, and he called his servants and entrusted them to his property." Now again, think of the fact that Jesus is leaving, and when he's telling this story, and he's preparing his disciples to be ready for him and his return. So that is then, but also for us now. Keep on reading in verse 15. It says, "To one he gave 5 talents. Somebody say 5 talents. Now, if you're thinking in American English, you would think, well, they're gifted. They have a gifting. But most importantly, in this time, whenever we're going to talk about talents, we have to understand that a talent was actually money in Roman culture and Jewish culture of that day. In fact, in Luke's story, he gives each one a minas, which was also a form of money. And the money that was given in Luke's gospel was about $30,000. Anybody want $30,000 this morning? Just me. Okay, so y'all don't understand. And so in this gospel, in Matthew's gospel, he gives a talent of money, which doesn't even sound like that much. But let me explain to you that Matthew's gospel, a talent, would be worth about 20 years' wages. So approximately, if we look up in 2018, the average household income, 1 talent today would be worth about $1.2 million. Y'all acting like y'all don't want it. But he gives $1.2 million, and this is the story. So when you see the talent in this version of the story of Matthew's gospel, it says this. Go back to the scripture. It says that to one he gave 5 talents. Now, the math geniuses in here would know that that is approximately $6 million. God is generous, isn't he? He gives more than we deserve. He gives more than we can ask or think. That's what the scripture says. And so he says this. He says, to one, he gave the 5 talents. To another, he gave 2. And that sounds sort of like a deal, right? Like, why did you give one person 5 talents and why did you give another person 2? But whenever I do the math, 1.2 plus 1.2, I went to South Terrebonne, so it's clearly very smart here. $2.4 million. I'm not complaining. If I'm given $2.4 million, I'm looking at that saying, what in the world can I do with my money? And I don't eat really good food today. It'd probably be like number 1 on my list. And so he gives 5 talents to one. He gives another to 2 talents. And then he gives another one 1. And again, he's given you $1.2 million. I mean, this is fabulous. This is a good deal. This is like you pick that up and say, Lord, what can I do with what you have given me? And so keep on reading. It says, to one he gave 5, to another he gave 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. And then he went away. And again, we look at that prophetically. Jesus goes back, sits at the right hand of God the Father. Look at verse 16. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So his $6 million is now worth $12 million. There's no shame in using your money and your giftings and your talents and your ability for kingdom resources. There is no shame that you took $6 million and now you got $6 million and now you're $12 million richer. There's nothing wrong with that. Keep on reading. It says, so he who had received the five talents went at once and traded them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had the two talents made two talents more. So again, we see a doubling of what God had generously given his servants. Now, keep on reading, because the story gets a little bit interesting. And again, this is out of the words of Jesus, out of his mouth. And Matthew records in verse 17, so he who had the two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, again, you could think almost of this as the gospel message, that some people will hear about Jesus. They will know the goodness of the Lord. They will be given a gift, and yet they don't receive the gift, and they take that and hide it into the ground. Remember, all of these parables are connecting. Remember that this is all not just one story, because it's going to get a little bit crazy as we read on the progression of what happens to these servants. Keep on reading in verse 19. It says, now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So again, it's like a returning of the Lord. Like, the God hasn't left us. He hasn't left us. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father right now, but he is coming back again, and not as a little baby, but the Bible says he's coming on a white horse, and he's coming to receive his church. And in that moment, all of us, every single one of us throughout all of time that know Jesus, will give an account. Now, salvation is free. It's a free gift. You give salvation because, not because you're good, not because you came to church this morning, because all you did was receive the grace of God. You said, I'm going to receive the gift that Jesus Christ paid for me. However, we will give an account for the talent, and in this case, we can say abilities that God has given. Each one of us will stand before God and say, did you survive or did you thrive? Was your five talents doubled for five talents more? Was your two talents doubled for two talents more? Or did you take it and not even do anything with your salvation? Did you dig it in the ground and let it die? And then Jesus says, I am coming back. You give an account. I give an account. I give a deeper account. It's a little scary. Keep on reading it. So it says in verse 20, it says this, and now he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more. He said, Master, do you deliver to me five talents? Here, I have made five talents more. His master said to him, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you ruler over much. So then there's these ideas that inside of heaven, there will be heaven and you'll be saved by grace. But obviously there are some positions in heaven. Obviously there are some things that we give back to our king, our talents, and we give back and say, this is what we've done. And we were thriving, Jesus, on this side of heaven. And then because of that, he rewards us in heaven. There is a reward for you as you give back into kingdom purposes in your life. Now keep on reading. In verse 21, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the two talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here, I have made two talents more. And his master said to him, he didn't expect more. He didn't expect three. He didn't expect four talents. Look what Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. You also have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So God was saying, you have doubled what I have given. He, in verse 24, also who had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. And the master answered him, you wicked and slothful, which is another word for lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I've not sown, and I've gathered where I've sowed no seed. So Jesus says, that was your job. That was what you were supposed to be doing. You were supposed to be living for kingdom purposes. In verse 27, he said, at least you should have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. He said, the least you could have done was put it up in a savings account and get 5% interest, right? That was the least of what you could do. So Jesus said, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Because you're trusted with little, God will make you ruler over much. So for everyone who has, he will be given and even more and in abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And then he says, cast the worthless servant. Now this is interesting because it means that this servant had not fully accepted the grace of God, had not truly come into authentic salvation enough that he would reproduce anything in his life. And he says this, he says, and cast the worthless servant into outer darkness in that place. And this is Jesus. This is not some made up place. This is not some place that we never talk about. The church should talk about it. He says, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So today we look at this and say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? Somebody say, to me. So to us, we look at that word talent. We look at the word minus in the book of Luke, and we understand that God has put into our position something that we are to be in control over. We are to steward. And all of these stories are given about something which with much be used well. Somebody say used well. In fact, I have this as a quote. It says, the consequences of neglecting and abusing it. In short, the talents represent what God has given us. Now, here are some of the things that the Lord has given you. Your monetary resources. Clearly, that story was about money. Right? I mean, it was talent in the Luke's gospel. It was about, so God has given you money. Somebody say money. Now, you don't like preachers keep preaching about money in church, but I believe that the Lord has given us our money so that we can steward over it and use it for God's kingdom purposes. Do you know that if you live in America, you are one of the richest people in the world by far? If tonight you go home and you have a roof over your head, you're in the top 10%. If you have clean drinking water, you're in the top 10%. If you have $1 or $2 to your name, you're in the top of the world. You're rich, my friend. You don't have to, you say, but I don't have much. You don't have to have much because you have more than what 90% of the world has. In India right now, there is a caste system. When you're born into India caste system, at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom, there's this low income and they live on the streets and they're street dwellers. There is no getting out of that. There is no taking a college class or getting your GED like you can in America. That's where you will stay. And when you're poor, you stay poor. There's no getting out of it. And so God has entrusted to us Americans that are sitting in this room, God has given you five. I'm just saying that. Even you think, well, I don't have five in money. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, because God has entrusted to you your resources. And a lot of us will look at our money and say, well, I don't know how to steward that. I would say first, 10% is the Lord's. That doesn't even make sense in our minds, but it doesn't have to make sense in my mind. It has to make sense with who God has called us to be, which is generous and pouring into kingdom purposes. Here's my thing. I give 10% to the Lord. Every single check that we get, 10% is God's. Why? Because I know God has entrusted me to steward the money. that he has given. It's all his. All of my money is his. So when God gave a servant 5 talents or 2 talents or 1 talent, who was it for? It was for him. And they got in their mind. Sometimes we get in our minds that it's mine, that I worked for this. I did 40 hours a week or 60 hours a week, and the Lord would say, it's all mine. All of your resources, all of your monetary resources is for God. Here's the thing, when I give my 10%, it doesn't mean that the 90% I can do whatever in the world I want to do with it. We like doing that. I can tell you story after story about people that just blow their money, right? Like just, I'm gonna go do this. I give God 10%. With the 90%, no, the Lord says all of it is his, and I am to steward it all responsibly. That means that I don't often go out to eat. I don't, because we don't have that kind of income. So there are some things that I have to steward over. When 10% is the Lord, it still means the 90% is his too. And I am called, and you are called, to steward that money well, to take care of what God has entrusted to you individually, not to blow it up and spend it on whatever it is that you want to spend it on, and then you can't pay your bills, and then you can't do God's kingdom purposes. God says his money, it's his money, and you are to resource it well. You are to steward that which God has given. So why? The end goal is that my 5 will make 5 more. My 2 will make 2 more. The last thing I want to be doing is with my 1 of my money that God has given me, wasting it and digging it up and saying, oh Lord, I know I'm just going to do whatever I want because it's mine. No, God says it's all his. Your time. So when God looks at your talent, one of the things he gives us is money. Another thing he gives us is time. I was doing this sermon with our young people, no lie. I said, everybody pull out your phone. Don't do it because you'll get distracted. I said, how much time, you know how they can track your screen time on the phones? You know what I'm talking about? And so they pulled them all out. And y'all, 7 hours, 8. One, and I'm not going to pick on a name of a person that's in this room right now, but there was an individual that was working all day. He looks at his phone and it's 8 hours of screen. How did that happen? You've been at work all day. We spend our time frivolously, right? Like if you look at your phone right, don't do it, but like if you would look at your phone right now, how much time have you already spent on a screen that's right in front of you? And then we'll go home and what we'll do, we'll watch a bigger screen with more things and more, you know, we'll watch this and then we'll watch a game and we'll watch a Pelicans game. I'm talking to myself right now. Then we'll watch a game that we don't even care about, like the Chicago Bulls, like who cares? And then I'm sitting there for hour after hour and I'm binge watching, and some of us binge watch Netflix, and let me step on some toes today. And you put on our reels, young people, and we are on TikTok because TikTok don't stop. And so even when the government tries to shut it down and it's not stopping, and we watch reel after reel after reel, and we spend hours. I'm not talking about minutes. If you look at your phone at the end, you know your phone will tell you how much screen time you spent, and then it averages it all out, and it will look at it. And I'm guilty on spending my time on worthless things. So I start preaching this sermon to our young people, and you know how kids are. My kids are like, Mom, but you said this, and so you can't spend your time on this, and you can't waste your time. And so now, like when I'm tempted to go to my screen, I'm like, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to make pickles. I like making pickles, so I'm going to make pickles. And so I started making pickles, and then yesterday I cleaned the entire house, and then about 2 o'clock my sister called and said, hey, you want to come down? Yes, we're going down the bayou, because why? I'm not going to waste my time that the Lord has given. I'm refusing to keep on that cycle. And you know it's a cycle, right? Do you know that those reels are for you? And those algorithms start taking things that you want to see. So why? They over and over again. You know, like my husband's reels are so very different than mine. He'll show me like building things. I don't care about building. And he'll show me like this adventure thing, like this person. Can you see this? And I'm like, mine are more like baking and cooking and like, you know, inspirational. And our reels become what they want us to do more and more of, so that we don't realize that reel has taken all of our time. It's taken that thing, and God will hold you accountable. not just for your money. God says, I've given you time. And again, we live in the country where we have a good chance that we'll live for to a very good age. And God says, what did you do with your time? Somebody say time. What did you do with your money? What did you do with your time? And I've got so many more to put into here. What did you do with your influence? As I was thinking about this, and I said, Lord, what kind of things have you given us? God has given us influence. You have influence over your family. You have a voice on you. I love Tim Tebow. I don't know if you've ever heard of Tim Tebow. He was an athlete, played college ball, really successful, got to the NFL, not as successful, but he was a believer. His mother and father were missionaries to the Philippines, and so I love him even more because of that. And so they were missionaries, and he was a believer, Tim Tebow was. In fact, when he was playing for Florida, was it Florida or Florida State? Florida? When he was playing for Florida, I always get confused. And so for Florida, he actually put the dot 316, which is John 3:16. He painted that on his face, and it says that whenever he played in the national championship, the Google searches for John 3:16 skyrocketed. Why? They were all going look up because Tim Tebow said it was 3:16, and so everybody in the nation was looking up what exactly is John 3:16. I think he is a perfect example of someone that had influence that God gave him. He put him in a position of influence, and he uses his influence even now for kingdom purposes. He doesn't play football. He didn't make it very far. He played, I think, for the Broncos a little bit. And then here he is at the end. I mean, he's not even at the end. He's young. He's in his 30s, using his influence for kingdom purposes. DeMario Davis for the New Orleans Saints. I don't know if you heard of him. Same thing. He just did an outstanding game. They played great ball. I forget what it was. And all he got on an interview, and the only thing he said was, I want to tell you how God healed my daughter. Man of God. That's what he calls himself. He's using his influence. You have influence. Young people, you have an influence in your school. Whenever you're at a job, you have an influence. With your on your street, you have an influence. You have a position that God has given you, and your position in order to thrive is to use that resource for the kingdom of God. It's not even about me. It's about bringing God's kingdom purposes here on earth and the influence that you have. See, I don't know your friends. And so you can invite your friends to church. Do it in 2 weeks. We have a big celebration baptism. Join us. But I can't invite those people and they won't come. But if you invite those people and you open your mouth and use your influence, they'll come. They'll start coming in quicker than anybody's. Why? Because your influence that God has asked you to steward. That influence that you have. So you have money, you have time, you have influence, and you have experiences. You're the only person in this room that have had the experiences that you have. So when someone is going through something, and you've been through the very same thing, you can use that influence for kingdom purposes. You can begin to say, God, you brought me through this. You ever been through around someone and they've been through cancer? They're the best people to go to talk with someone that's been in cancer now. Why? They're using their experience of what they've been through and what God did for them for the kingdom purposes. Guys, we are called. We are called to use our stories, whatever story it is. And you say, well, I don't have much of a story. But you breathing, you're a story. And so your breath and your lungs allows that experience that you have been through to pour it into other people's. To not just think about yourself. Not just to dig a hole and put the one talent in the ground. Constantly, our minds would be saying, God, I have been given 5 experiences. Or God, I've been given 2 experiences. How can I help other people through these experiences? How can I use my time for your kingdom purposes? How can I use my possessions for your kingdom? How can I use my influence, God, for your kingdom? How can I use, maybe you have wisdom. maybe you have like this wisdom that God has given you. We need wisdom. We need to sit under people that are older than us. Our young people need wisdom. Can I get an amen and a hallelujah? We need people that will say, here is the wisdom and the knowledge that I have with walking with the Lord for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. Because that's the people I want to hear from. It's people who have made it through and stewarding what God has given us. See, God says, this is it. Each of these things are given by God to use in a way that glorifies Him. We find our true joy and place in life when we serve God with our gifts. If we want to survive, not just survive, if we want to thrive, and that's the purpose, then we're going to have to take an assessment of our lives. We're going to have to look at our lives and say, okay, God, I give you permission to look at my money. Just looking at your money. God, you need to help me. I sort of blow it all. Or I don't know where it's even at. I don't even know what happens to it. And you look at that and say, God, I want to steward better. Your time. If you're blowing all of your time, or if you're just sitting there, and so many times I'll do this in my life, I'll just sit on a couch. I don't know if you do this. I'll just sit, and I'll just be like, this is my me moment. But my me moment ends up being like a day moment. And so my day, you know, then I got to stop it, and I say, God, that's not good for me. That's healthy. I mean, I know Sabbath is good, but not just spending time. Lord, help me to manage my time. God, help me to manage our influence. God, help me to manage my experience. Let me pour into someone else. Stewards receive whatever they're entrusted to. This is one of the quotes I have. And they will manage the assets. So your position is God has given you 5. God has given you 2. God has given you 1. Luke's gospel, everybody got 1. He's into social justice. And then they make different amounts. See, God has given you, receive whatever they entrusted, and you will manage the assets while you're in charge. And then your goal is to pass them on when they're supposed to. What has God entrusted with you that you are to pass on? Somebody say pass on. As I age gracefully, the Lord always speaks this to me. He'll always say, Tara, what is it? When I was in my 20s, I can be honest, it was about me. My teenagers were probably even worse. Even the things that I did for kingdom purposes in my 20s were so much about me and growing me and getting in a position. And as I've approached in my 40s, that life has changed a little bit. You're older. You don't see as well. Things start happening in your physical body. But in my spiritual mind, God has positioned and things have said, Lord, what am I doing to grow the kingdom? Not my kingdom. Not about me. God, what are those things that you have entrusted me to and that we can be resilient? So I have 4 questions for you today, and we'll leave with these. If we are going to steward well God's resources, if we're going to thrive with God, with everything he's entrusted to you, it's time to take an honest assessment. And here's some questions for you. Number 1, am I stewarding God's resources well? And I think that's something we can just ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, like when you walk out the room today, the things that you have given, time, ability, God, if you've given me experiences, influence, y'all, all of you in the room have something. Notice there was no servant, there was no 0. I think a lot of times the enemy will lie and say, but you're a 0. That's not scriptural, so it's not true. The truth of God is that you have resources. You have an income. You have time. Whatever it is, asking God, how can I better do that? Number 2 question, am I sowing into the kingdom? Not my kingdom, but into your kingdom. Are you giving your time, your ability, your resources, your money into kingdom purposes? This past weekend, one of my students from long ago, I was a youth pastor in my 20s, and he emailed me, and he said he is serving in Norway. Him and his wife are serving as missionaries. 5 years they've been serving. And he says, Tara, he says, I feel called. God is calling me and my family to Rwanda. Rwanda is a little bit different than Norway. And he said, I feel like the Lord is calling us, my wife and I, to go and raise up pastors and preachers and teachers. And he said, would you and your church consider supporting us? And here's what I said, absolutely. We're going to have a Zoom call with them. Why? Because we want to sow into the kingdom of God. This church is called to sow into with our resources that God has given. And you can't just be, well, we're not the wealthiest church in Homer, or we're not the wealthiest church in the area. That doesn't matter. God says to use what you have and sow into kingdom purposes. So we're giving to people around the globe. Are you sowing into the kingdom your money? Are you sowing into the kingdom your resources? What a privilege it is to sow into the kingdom your time. I never feel bad when I leave church on a Sunday morning. I usually feel bad after I've binge-watched a bunch of stuff on Netflix. You feel that icky feeling. You know what I'm talking about? Like I did nothing with my day. But I always feel good when I'm sowing into kingdom purposes. Question number three, ask yourself, is this necessary? In all of your resources, is that Starbucks necessary? I ask myself those kind of questions. When I go through it, I ask and I say, Lord, I want to be a good steward of what you have given me. I want to sow into the kingdom. Is that next show on the next series necessary to grow me, to help me to thrive? I think that's an honest question that we need to ask ourselves. Is this a necessary thing in my life? Is this a necessary experience, a resource that I'm using? Is it necessary? And then number four, does this grow the resources God has given me? I think if we look at our lives, we can say, God, I am called to steward. I'm called to steward well. God, you have given me resource, time, ability, experiences. God, you have given me those things. How can I increase what you have given? Can you play a song in the back? I want you to take a look at that just in a moment. We'll just have a space. But these are things that you can't change. Like, I mean, you can vow to change them right now, but then you walk out the door. That's when the real change happens. When you take a clicker and you turn it off, that's when real change happens, right? Whenever you look at your finances and you start saying, God, those finances are yours. I love Dave Ramsey. He's a financial guru Christian. And he says that. He says, watch, you know, you should know where every dollar is going. As a steward of the kingdom of God, like as people, servants, we should know. I'm not talking about like every single, but pretty much every single dollar. Where is that going? Am I just spending it to like do my thing? Or am I spending it for kingdom purposes and to take care of my family? And even from the generation coming behind me, there's nothing wrong with that, having a source for your people behind you. Ask these questions. Am I sowing into the kingdom? Is this necessary? See, we all want to thrive. I do. I want to thrive. I want this church to thrive. I want your families to thrive. I spoke that 2 weeks ago. We spoke that over this church, that we would not just survive at Hope Community, but we would thrive. We spoke that word, and God is doing things. You'll hear about that next week. So come, because it'll be awesome, a word from Pastor Ted. But today, before you can thrive, you have to take an honest assessment. Like sometimes we just have to look at our lives and say, okay, God, maybe for you it's time. Maybe for you it's resources. Maybe for you it's your money. Like, you know, your money's funny and you got to get it right. Maybe for you it's experiences. You've never even told someone about what's happened to you and how that would bless us and encourage us. Maybe you have influence at your job. Maybe you have influence at your school, young people, and you have to think about it. God, how can I use that for kingdom purposes? Whatever position God has placed you in, he holds you accountable to that position. I pray this morning that you would be like the servant with five talents, and you would go and have five more. If you've been given two, that you would say, Lord, here's two more. Or even if you have one, that you would not be like the servant that dug it in the ground, and rather you would say, God, you've given me this, and God, here's more. Because at the end of this time that we have on earth, when all is said and done, the truth is that the scripture remains true, and we will hold account. We'll hold account for our purposes, our plans, the things that God has given. And we'll stand before him longing to hear that word, well done, my good and faithful servant. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? Just give a moment for the Holy Spirit to speak. When you allow him to, he'll start showing you some things that probably need to be removed. Probably some things that you could steward better. Because even our kids, I forgot to include that one, but even our kids, God has given them to us, not to rule over, but just to steward. Like, are we teaching our kids kingdom principles? Parents, that's on us. Our job as parents is to instill into them godly values. Are we giving? Are we generous? Whatever that resource that God has given you, have you sowed into the kingdom? Or maybe your time. Maybe right when you walk out this morning, you'll say, I'll go right to the welcome desk. I'm going to grab one of those big sheets. I'm going to do something here. Maybe spend time with your family. Family is another thing that God's given. You know, we could do like a family game rather than watch a game on TV. We could have a place where, hey, we're just doing this together. You get one shot at this. We all get one shot at this. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you would have been like the last servant and dug it in the ground, said, I just don't even. The good news this morning is that we're still on this side of heaven, and there is still opportunity for God's generous grace and his love for you. The Bible says salvation is a free gift. And for it's by grace that we have been saved through faith so that we can give our lives to him, we can trust in him. And today, if you've never done that, with every head bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand and say, I want that. I want to live for kingdom purposes. Anybody in the room, you've never trusted Christ. You never believed in him in a way that would follow him by lifting your hands. The kingdom is so much better. For the rest of us in the room today, would you just trust in Jesus with your resources, your time, your ability, your experiences, your family, your kids? Whatever it is that God has given, and he's given us all something, that we would steward that well. Lord Jesus, God, we are praying. God, just that the truth of Scripture would be real. Oh, God, that we would understand. God, that you have given generously. God, we thank you. God, if we've been grumbling and complaining and griping, Lord, we repent of that. Lord, we thought we didn't have enough. God, thank you for the privilege that we have of being in this place at this time period of life. God, we are the richest generations, God, the richest countries. Sometimes we don't see that, Lord. We just see the next thing that we want. And God, I pray, Lord, this morning that we would steward well our resources, our time. God, our experiences, our family, our kids. God, all the things that you have entrusted. God, help us to understand, God, that we receive what is entrusted to us. God, we are told to manage what you have given. And God, then we're going to pass it on, Lord. I pray that we would be even inspired in that. That we would start to understand, God, that we can pass on what God has given through us, to us, God, to others. God, help us to thrive as we manage what your resources that you have given us. And God, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. We love you guys. We are going to see you this Wednesday. Right outside, there are some $2 tacos. And so if you want to go and grab one of those or two of those or three of those, if you want to feed your whole family, what a great way to feed your family this morning, supporting us and our students getting to church camp. And so if you want to come to church camp, come talk to me. We've got tons of spots available, and we want you to come. It's going to be incredible. We'll see you guys Wednesday, and then we'll see you guys Sunday for the last part of the series with Pastor Tim.